start your engines!
Hang them up, gang. Crank them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
A new home for a former Stuart Haas driver, and folks still aren't happy with the way this season ended. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Dustin Albino from Jayski and Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Dustin and Shane here. And man, it's the off season, but there's still plenty to talk about. And Dustin, let's talk about Ryan Preece. He's got that new ride. Not a big surprise. We've been expecting this. He got the third car that RFK Racing is going to have. Is they're leasing a charter for this year from, I've gone blank on who they're getting from. I want to say Rick Mast, but I know that's not ready. That tells you how old I am. But they're leasing a charter, and it's going to be Mr. Preece.
It is. Yeah. They're leasing a charter from Rick Ware Racing. It sounds like the number 15 charter. Steve Newmark confirmed that on Tuesday at the announcement. So yeah, like you said, not a big surprise. Probably, you know, in a garage that's full of worst kept secrets, this one was pretty high on the list this year. But big opportunity for Ryan Preece. He's got a past relationship with Kroger, with JTG Doherty Racing in the past, so made all the sense in the world. It's time for Preece to show up, though. You know, he's had a couple of years of Stuart Haas Racing. Obviously, they shut down. He needs a breakout year this year.
Well, that's the thing, Shane. I mean, he's the guy that Tony Stewart tapped for that spot. Gene Haas really didn't want him. Stewart's the guy that went to bat for him. And I don't know that he was as successful as Stewart thought he might be.
And right at the beginning, obviously, Preece had that time when we all got to know who he was if you were the most casual of NASCAR fans at Daytona in the middle of all that. But what we noticed about Preece is that throughout his career, I don't think he was ever one of those drivers who doesn't perform, and it seems like he's just never in it. It felt like he found ways to be relevant in races, to find ways to keep himself, maybe even toward the front at certain points. And that kind of driver, I think, does have a lot of future in the sport right now. And you look at the way that RFK Racing has been growing and developing and being innovative. You know, we talk about the 2311 type teams. We talk about how teams are new and being innovative and coming up with different stuff. But I think that RFK has a lot that it's doing, a lot that has grown since it was just Roush Racing at one point. And bringing in this third charter and a growing driver with a growing brand and personality like Ryan Preece could be a big move for this, once again, growing RFK team.
How much do you think Preece was hampered, at least in the last year, by the fact that Stuart Haas was closing things up, Dustin?
That's a good point. I do think, you know, if you look at Stuart Haas Racing overall, the second half of the year, outside of Chase Briscoe's Darlington one, there's not much to be excited about. Josh Berry had an awful stretch of races done this season, but if you look at Preece in the last two or three months of the season, he performed. And, you know, this could go well, and it sets up a good opportunity here moving to RFK. So I think Preece was starting to hit his stride at the end of the season, ironically, while the rest of Stuart Haas Racing, for the most part, was on the opposite side.
You talked about RFK, Shane, and I think it shows how far this organization has come. I mean, from the time that Brad Keselowski walked in and said, the first thing we're going to do is paint the walls, you know, and bring a new attitude to this whole place and bring a new feel to the whole place. You know, this year they, you know, got one car in the playoffs. Both cars ended up winning a race this year. So there is progress being made. And at this point, the progress is tangible because it's showing up in the scorecard.
And the year before that, you had that one race win. It actually was coincidentally the race when Ryan Preece flipped seven times was when, believe, Daytona last year, Chris Buescher and Brad Keselowski finished 1-2. Last year, both of those RFK drivers made the playoffs, and now with, like you said, this year, another driver in the playoffs in Keselowski. Did anyone really see this year being a Brad Keselowski winning a race, making the playoffs year if you drew it up? Maybe because, you know, he's a previous champion who is capable of doing that. But the reality is that if you want to determine that these drivers win races, they get enough points to make the playoffs, and that's how under this system we determine which drivers and which teams are succeeding the most, I think that RFK really has done a lot to get both of its cars to be top drivers and playoff contenders in the sport. And now this third charter now moves RFK from being one of those two-car teams that's growing, that's getting guys into the playoffs, to being one of the bigger teams in the sport.
You see the same thing, Dustin?
Kind of see it across the board with a lot of the teams, whether it's 2311, who's, you know, getting a 13, Front Row Motorsports, Trackhouse, and now RFK, all getting three cars for next year. And we love the glory days of Roush back two decades ago when they had five teams and got them all in the playoffs. But this is a new Roush team, a new leadership with Brad and Steve Newmark leading the charge. So, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with Shane there.
Well, and remember now, three is the max.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, I mean, you know, Gibbs and Hendrick are getting grandfathered into this deal with four, but with the new charter deal, three's the max.
And how do you, I mean, I think it's going to be so interesting the way that that ends up impacting things, because you see how JGR and Hendrick have solidified themselves as being top teams that can operate with four charters, and that Stuart Haas felt like it was going to make that step as the big dominant Ford team, and it all just was not able to work out that way. So that being said, it's really important that about that three charter limit, because it's going to kind of bridge that gap between the one and two car teams, the teams that might just have like 10 employees in the shop, and the teams that are like Hendrick and JGR that have hundreds of people. It won't be that you have some of these giants and some of these small businesses. It'll be more of that you just have different teams that figure out how to compete in a big professional sport.
So, Dustin, what's it going to mean? What's it going to take, I mean, for RFK to add a third car to their organization? You can't just roll it out there and say we're going to do it with what we have. They're going to have to add staff.
Yep, that's definitely got to add a headcount. It's something that Brad Keselowski was shy about saying how much, who, what, and during his Tuesday media call. But yeah, that's spot on. They're going to have to hire a significant workforce to add another entry into the, you know, weekly entry list for the races. So yeah, headcount, resources. There's a lot of it too. And remember too, like they have relationships with multiple teams in the garage now too, where they're kind of, you know, with Rick Ware Racing, and they're a big Ford partner. So there's a lot of stuff going on there with the Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing here in the next, for the offseason, to get ready for 2025.
Well, that's one thing though that Brad Keselowski has been very careful about, Shane. I think he has tempered expectations since he stepped into the ownership role there, but he's a smart businessman, and he's going to make sure that all the pieces are in place properly, I think, before he grows.
He is, and that's the thing. When you get a driver who's that invested in the team that he owns, in addition to his own racing career, look at Brad Keselowski now as a driver. Again, a previous champion, a guy who has been in this sport for a long time. Now we're constantly talking about in the role of him as an owner and how that impacts other drivers. And again, this year, when it feels like Chris Buescher's one of the guys who made it to the round of eight a year ago, he's somebody who was a driver for Brad Keselowski looking to try to make the playoffs. And then a guy like Brad might be the one who gets in. And so in a lot of ways, maybe Brad Keselowski hasn't won 10 races every year or been a big star of Hendrick, multi-time champion. But I think he's having a lot more success both for himself and for the rest of the sport in this role as both a driver and an owner of that same team.
What does it mean from a business standpoint, Dustin, that Keselowski has opted to lease a charter rather than purchase a charter?
I think it just gives them options for what's to come, you know, gauge how the 2025 season goes and then potentially do an offer there. And who knows what the future of Rick Ware Racing is, right? Like, we haven't heard if what the 51's doing, whether Corey LaJoie's coming back. All signs point that way, but maybe not. But yeah, to Shane's point, like, I want to hit on this too. Brad Keselowski is incredible at scouting talent. And so by plucking Ryan Preece, kind of putting this all together, he's a guy that's getting an opportunity who maybe hasn't, you know, Stuart Haas Racing, yes, it's one of the bigger teams, or was one of the bigger teams, but, you know, it was kind of on the downslide. And so Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing in many ways on the upward trajectory. So you look at Joey Logano, Brad got him to Penske. Blaney plucked him out, put him on the truck team and eventually in the Penske pipeline. So I like this move by Brad and bringing Preece in.
All right, when we come back, a lot of uncertainty for some other teams right now as to how they'll be competing next year. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, C-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up on your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want C-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with C-Max.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead. Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, this is Carson Osvar, and you're listening to Country Radio Hall of Famers Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
It's Kathy and Tim McGraw.
I can see you getting more into the technical. I can see you producing.
It's a fun thing to learn. I enjoy doing it. When I get the opportunities to do it, I try to learn as much as I can.
Hey, it's Kathy Martindale and Paul Shadd on Racing Country Classic.
Racing Country Classics.
Each year, vehicle trespasser and pedestrian accidents along railroads change the course of innocent lives, from train operators and passengers to families and first responders. Interacting safely with tracks and trains is the goal. It's important to be alert when approaching crossings. Never drive or walk around lowered gates. Do not walk on or beside the tracks. Trespassing is dangerous and illegal. Don't risk your life. Keep clear and stay safe. For more information, visit metrolinktrains.com/stay safe.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And hey, welcome back, along with Dustin Albino from JSK.com and NASCAR.com and Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. First of all, we've been talking about Stewart Haas. We've got to congratulate Tony Stewart and Leah Pruitt on the birth of their son, Dominic James Stewart. That happened this past Sunday. So congratulations for Tony. Tony, your life is making a significant change. Hope you got some sleep. You'll be wishing you had. Congratulations. I'm happy for them both. Dustin, let's talk a little bit about, you know, we talked about the charter that that RFK is getting from Rick Ware Racing. We know that one of the charters that Stewart Haas had, they had four. They're staying with Gene Haas, with the Gene Haas factory team, and that's Cole Custer's going to drive that car next year. One of them is going to Trackhouse. One of them is supposed to go to 2311, and one of them is supposed to go to Front Row. But we still have this lawsuit going on in which Front Row and 2311 have the lawsuit involved with NASCAR. NASCAR has now worked with one of the judges, and they are going to allow the teams to compete. We're talking about 2311 and Front Row as non-charter teams if this thing can't be resolved. This thing's getting kind of messy, isn't it?
Yeah, but the teams still have to make their announcements, right? So, like, I know on Tuesday, for instance, 2311 put out a teaser for an announcement later this week. And you had Front Row Motorsports on Tuesday morning announced Todd Gilliland taking over the 34. So there's partnerships still in place. There's drivers still under contract for teams. So, yeah, we don't know much yet, though, right? Like, this is still going to play out. It's got, who knows how long it's going to play out and how it's going to play out. But really, there isn't much of an update outside of what you mentioned with the open teams being allowed to run as open teams.
I think the significant thing, Shane, that fans need to realize is, you know, when you compete as an open team, you're not guaranteed a starting spot in the field, as 36 teams are, the 36 charter teams. And there's a significant lower payout to the open teams as opposed to the charter teams.
And that's why, again, like, it is so significant, the backbone of this, because 23-11, a team like that, when it's constantly competing, it's constantly a full-time team in the sport, again, it feels like, all right, we're going to see Tyler Reddick and Bubba Wallace on the track in the 45 and 23 cars, or we're going to what? They have chartered it, we're going to see them anyway. But it is a big difference, and when you think about the financial aspects of the purse from each race, like you note, you think about the amount of money that drivers make if they make the playoffs after, which normally they go hand in hand, that if you win a race, you inherently make the playoffs. Obviously, this year we saw an example where that doesn't have to be how it inherently works. I think that it's going to be, again, I say use the word interesting, but it is going to be interesting to see, because even this year, a year where Tyler Reddick was the best driver in the sport in the regulars throughout the regular season, he only got in a victory lane one time. When you think about the importance of winning in this sport, not just for yourself, but because of what that will do for you and your team, in a year like this, it feels like last year, for example, William Byron won 6 races, was a top driver in the sport. This year, he won the Daytona 500. He hasn't won a championship yet, but it's a difference between winning 6 races and winning 1 race, even if that 1 race and a consistent year gets you the regular season championship. And so when you look into the future now, it is important to talk about, and is a bad situation a bit for 23-11, because again, even in a year when they're competing full-time as charters, everything seems to be going great, Tyler Reddick was only able to get 1 win and was able to win the regular season championship, but it feels like he could have been far more dominant.
Well, and that becomes the challenge. As long as you have, I guess, the commitment and the backing from your sponsors, can the purse money make that much of a difference, Dustin?
So I think that's what we want, right? Like, we don't want, how do I phrase this? I think teams want the best talent, correct? But sometimes they have to make business decisions, and maybe that's what a lot of teams are doing, right? Especially at the lower levels. But yeah, it's tough. The team's got to go forward, right? Otherwise, I mean, I guess they don't have to, but it's such a weird situation. Yeah, it is. It's weird, and I don't know how this plays out. But 23-11 in front row, they have, you know, we heard Noah's, obviously it was what, August or July when he was announced he's going to front row, so they got to put him somewhere. They have, it sounds like, a third driver. They're picking between different drivers, maybe who comes with funding, who doesn't. So yeah, I mean, the teams have to move forward.
The thing is, I wonder how long this goes on, and can this carry into next season, Shane? Does it get resolved before 2025? And the challenge to me becomes, if you're NASCAR, you know, do you negotiate? I mean, they've made it pretty clear that they don't intend to negotiate. If you do any negotiation and come down from what the original deal has been, then you have to go back to all the other teams that have signed and renegotiate with them and give them, I would think you got to give them the same deal you would give the other two teams, or the two teams that are suing NASCAR then have to either that, or then they have to basically go, fine, we'll take the deal that was on the table, even though NASCAR may go, well, that deal's long gone.
And you'd think that, again, that deal would be long gone, and that it's NASCAR's made it clear that this, again, this lawsuit's been filed, like you said, it feels like we've already been told so many times that these guys are not competing in 2025, but that if it comes down to it, like, and also, when I've seen this entire thing, it's felt like this has been going on for a long time. This isn't new, that the teams are owned by individuals and that NASCAR is at the top trying to have that power over these teams. And so it feels like when you look ahead now, it is a pivotal point for the sport, because, again, this has always been going on, and the reality has been that most owners have, okay, NASCAR says to do this, we're going to agree with it, and that when you have somebody like Michael Jordan, this isn't a NASCAR thing, this isn't a basketball thing, this is bigger than both of those things. This is a human who has more star power and influence than many other people in this country. It's not about NASCAR versus not, it's that if you tell NASCAR owners who are known to the United States of America as, as big as Rick Hendrick is, he's a NASCAR owner. Michael Jordan is known to a lot of people outside, people who don't know anything about NASCAR hear about Michael Jordan. And so NASCAR has to always be, everyone's careful every step of the way with what they ever talk about, because anything that Michael Jordan comes out of his mouth matters. And if what's coming out of his mouth is that NASCAR is acting like monopolistic bullies, and that does feel like it will be what pushes NASCAR forward. And I think that there's just so much of this decision, what comes out of this, that is going to impact the future of the sport. And in the short term, yeah, whether 2311 and these chart guys compete full time next year is a big question. And then again, even this year, I think it is having a big impact if you're a driver like Tyler Reddick, who's good enough to win the regular season championship, but is only getting into victory lane once.
The one thing I would say, and to kind of counter what Shane's saying, Dustin, to the standpoint that I wish I had a nickel for every press conference I've been to in my multitude of years in this sport where somebody says, I'm going to run this like a real business, because I would be an incredibly wealthy man, because all those teams have fallen by the wayside. They don't understand, Dustin, that racing isn't run like a regular business. It's a completely different kind of industry, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's the most expensive sport out there, right, to get into, whether it's at the local level, the national level, whatever level. So it's hard to run it like a regular business, for sure. And I think a lot of owners, like you said, Brett, have kind of, as you said, fallen to the wayside because they treated it as a normal business. And then a couple years later, they're gone. So when you look at like a 2311, for instance, take the lawsuit out of it, like, they have Michael Jordan behind them, who has ton of money. Obviously the wealth is exponential, so they're good. But you think about some of the other teams, and who knows? So this, it's going to be an interesting few months here.
Shane, thoughts?
I mean, especially when Michael Jordan does band together with FRM, I think that is an important piece of the whole thing, because now Front Row Motorsports, owned by obviously restaurant entrepreneur and Bob Jennings, not but either way, now all of a sudden it links all the other teams that did not sign that together, as that they were complicit with what NASCAR was offering them at that time, and that now it does, but just add whatever Front Row Motorsports does, because it is now attached to 2311 and attached to whatever happens. And again, even though it might lead to good things for a team like 2311 especially, it's important to note what this does in the short term, with even the past year, what it's been like to be driving for Front Row Motorsports or even 2311 Racing, and how that could potentially worsen as a result of all this.
All right, when we come back, a lot of people still upset with the way this past season ended. Are they wrong or right? Stay with us.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be, and all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit goprn.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway. Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack. Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side. They get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back. On with Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer and also Dustin Albino from Jayski and NASCAR.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, Shane, a lot of people still complaining about the way this season ended. Joey Logano didn't deserve it. He didn't get in. He only got to the final four because Alex Bowman got disqualified, and he wasn't the best car, and Kyle Larson didn't make the finals, and he was the best driver all year long, and yada, yada, yada. We need to go back to the old system where they just got points all year long. You know what? That system's been gone for 25 years almost, and I'm kind of tired of hearing it. I mean, what are your thoughts about the way this season – the system, to me, the system works because the last 10 races, we had a lot of excitement that wouldn't have happened otherwise if you have just a start to, you know, 36 race accumulation of points.
Joey Logano's a three-time champion. He's been one of the best drivers in the sport every year. And this year, a year where he won the pole.
Well, at least in even years.
Yeah. He wins the pole at the Daytona 500. He wins the race he needs to win. He gets into the playoffs. He advances through. That's what you've got to do, and that's what this system rewards. As long, like, listen, every single sport out there has been trying to innovate itself to have a playoff bracket with more rounds and more games and more opportunities and hours to get people into stadiums. And that's just how it goes. And in every sport, you're going to have questions when a team ends up winning the championship or doesn't win. And in the case of NASCAR, when you have as many rounds, as many races, as many stages within each race, you're asking to have this kind of action. You're asking to have to go the entire season and not have it be until the checkered flag flies at Phoenix Raceway that you have any idea who is going to be your champion. And then from that moment on, you look back at the entire year and you say, that guy, not that team like every other sport, that guy figured out how to make this year his year. And it really is an assessment of the entire season. And so this year, I felt all year long that who's going to win it? And it really is up in the air. It could be anybody. And it did feel during that championship race that this was Ryan Blaney's back-to-back for the taking. And that Ryan Blaney won it a year ago, was a deserving first-time champion a year ago, then won two races in the regular season, got into the playoffs, was one of the best, won at Martinsville for the second straight year, and won his second straight championship. But that didn't happen because that you can't draw up a storyline. And in this case, Joey Logano did what he needed to do to become a champion. And again, yes, the format, there are always going to be times in sports when you're going to say, no matter what happens, all right, why are you playing a game five on a Tuesday? And like, there are always something. And in the case of NASCAR, if it's that there are three races, three racetracks, you got to win one of them or you got to finish above a cut line in points. It's been years and everybody understands that that's the way it is. So will NASCAR eventually change the playoff format? Yeah, probably every sport's going to change stuff eventually. But at this point, the sport keeps growing. You have 36 guys in the sport, 16 of them make the playoffs. That's, you know, about half, roughly half, less than half. You got to do something to get in, do something to win. And Joey Logano this year did it.
Would we be having this conversation, Dustin, if Penske hadn't just won his third straight championship?
I don't know. And I don't know how much more I can add on to what Shane just said, because I think all three of us are in the same boat here. I mean, you look at any sport, like Shane was saying, I think this format is very similar to the NCAA tournament, right? But even this is even more equal. This is more fair because your regular season still matters. So while Joey Logano didn't have a great regular season, that only put him behind to start every round. And so, yeah, the outcry for a change in the format is just mind-boggling because, like you said, Brett, we've had this for years. This particular format with the three race rounds for 11 seasons now, the playoff points for 7 or for 8, and it's just mind-boggling that now, because Joey Logano finished 15th in the regular season points, yet that puts him at a detriment in the playoffs. Wins the championship, he gets hot, he wins the races he needs to win, and then we have an outpour of people wanting change. But yeah, I think we're all in the same boat here. If Penske didn't win, I mean, look, this is the first time Ford's won 3 straight championships, the first time Penske's won 3 straight championships. It's only the 3rd team ever to win 3 straight championships, joining Junior Johnson and Hendrick Motorsports in the 2000s. So maybe, but maybe not. Who knows?
I think, Shane, as you look at it, I mean, one thing that they addressed, that Steve Phelps addressed during his State of the Sport out of Phoenix, is one of the things that they are looking at is moving the championship race around. And would that alleviate some of the angst that we're hearing, because people feel like there are certain drivers who are good at certain tracks?
I do think so, because when you have that any one track gets set as that's the championship race, and when it's a sport where the particular track it is going to have an impact on the outcome of the event, you have to consider it. And when you look at a track like Phoenix, we just haven't had the best races ever at Phoenix Raceway in the spring or in the fall. It felt like that playoff race at Homestead this year, for example, was electric. It felt like that's what a late season, late playoffs elimination race should be. And it makes sense that the championship race was there many times. And so I think that it is important to move tracks around, rotate different tracks, have tracks like Watkins Glen and Atlanta enter the playoffs this year. But that decision, you can't overstate how important it is, because the specific tracks that you go to do have an impact on the outcome. And if you keep going to Phoenix, and Penske, Fords traditionally are good at Phoenix, that's going to continue to make this conversation happen if Fords keep winning championships at Phoenix because of this. All year long, you have to note that Ford, we sat here for the first 10 weeks of the season, I think, oh, when's a Ford going to win? When's a Ford going to win? And then Chevys and Toyotas just not only win races, but seem like the faster cars. Are they? No, not necessarily. There are times, like I said, Joey Logano, the eventual champion, started this year off winning the pole after the duels at the Daytona 500. And it felt right then, yeah, every driver in the NASCAR Cup Series this year got onto the track at Daytona, ran a lap, and that Joey Logano stood out significantly this year. And he ended up being the champion. I think you have to really look at everything, every step of the way. And again, because you know that Phoenix is the track at the end early in the year, Fords can be managing the entire year a little bit differently when you have this many drivers and this many teams. I think it really is, should be a lot of credit to Ford and credit to Team Penske for figuring out how to win these last 3 championships.
All right, we know Phoenix is the finale next year, Dustin. What do you think the chances are it moves around after that?
You know, I do think there's probably chances, right? Like, you look at Homestead, obviously, that was the championship race for a long time. It was the final race of the season for a long time. There's certain markets for sure. What I really personally would like to see is Kansas, because I think that's NASCAR's best track. Like, you know, Homestead gets a lot of the credit, and it's in South Beach, but Kansas, as long as the weather cooperates, I think is the perfect track. But there's certainly markets out there. And that's another thing too, right? Like, we want it in a big market. So like Phoenix, it's a good sports town. Miami, a pretty good sports town, even though Homestead's like an hour south of Miami. Shh, don't say anything to anybody. But yeah, I mean, Kansas, there's, who knows? Who knows where this could go? Maybe you throw, there'd have to be some kind of deal, I'm sure, struck by like a Vegas or a Charlotte in there. Who knows? But yeah, I think for sure. And who knows? Like, we saw, we heard Steve Phelps and Steve O'Donnell in their State of the Sport say that, you know, they could alter the playoff moving forward. So maybe there's a round instead of one race. So I think the 2026 schedule and the 2026 playoffs will surely be one to watch, even though it's already, you know, a year and a half away.
Hey, when we come back, NASCAR's announced the start times and the networks for this coming season. We'll talk about that when we return.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
Hey folks, it's Doug Rice. Did you know you can take PRN with you anywhere? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live races just about any place on the planet, and you will not miss a second of the action. Plus, you can hear our shows like the fantastic editions of Fast Talk, plus Brett McMillan on the Pit Reporters, and Mark Garrow with Garage Fast. Get all the latest racing information right at your fingertips. The PRN mobile app, available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines for the fourth annual Women with Drive, driven by Mobil 1 Summit, taking place in Indianapolis, Indiana, December 9th through the 11th to kick off PRI Show Week. As a property of Women in Motorsports North America, this conference brings together both women and men to discuss the current issues and needs to advance opportunities for a more diverse and inclusive environment to help grow the motorsports industry. Head to womenwithdrivesummit.com to learn more and register now.
We are Lions International, the world's largest service organization. We are volunteers committed to strengthening our communities and supporting those in need, one act of kindness at a time. For more than a century, Lions have been serving a world in need, right here in our community and around the world. Lions International makes the impossible possible. This is your invitation to join us, because the only thing missing from our mission to make a difference is you. Visit lionsclubs.org to find a local Lions Club near you.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Dustin Albino from JSki and NASCAR.com, Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, NASCAR has announced their start times and the networks for the races this coming year. We'll do the easy ones first. As in the past, all the truck races are going to be on FS1. All the Xfinity races are going to be on the CW, which is an over-the-air network, which you can get with an antenna. Okay, I just dated myself. And for the Cup schedule, the races up through the All-Star race at North Wilkesboro will either be on Fox or FS1. Then for the 600 through Pocono, they'll be on Prime Video. For Atlanta through Indianapolis, will be on TNT. And then the rest of the season will be either on USA or NBC. And the Prime Video folks, Prime Video and TNT, have announced that they will have Adam Alexander, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and Steve Letarte in the booth. So, Dustin, I like that lineup in the booth.
Great lineup. I'm a big fan of Adam Alexander personally. You know, as someone who covers the Xfinity series in depth, like, he is so good. You see him at the track, you see him mingling with the teams and trying to tell their story. So I'm excited to see him get another shot back at the Cup Series, you know, similar to what he did at TNT back more than the late 2000s. So, you know, nothing too surprising about the start times. When you look at the Xfinity and the Truck Series, though, there were some things that stuck out. So with the Truck Series, 17 of the races, the 23 races, start at 5 o'clock or later. A lot of those have lights, so we shouldn't have to worry too much. And it's nothing foreign to the Truck Series. They always get later start times. In the Xfinity Series, 7 of the final 12 races start at 7:30 or later. So going to be some late nights next year at the end of the year. But overall, I think this is a good lineup, and I'm excited to see what Prime Video does specifically in the ways that they broadcast the races.
Shane?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting this year. It's going to be exciting to have these different TV partners in the sport. I do believe that, because while, yes, every week, it means that you got to get on your computer and figure out how to get on a Prime Video, and then you got to go on to TNT the next week, and then you're back on, is it on USA or NBC? I get it, but this creates so much more exposure for the sport. To have, in the beginning of the season, it's on Fox, on FS1, every fan is going there. You're going to that channel. You're seeing it. That means that more people go on Fox Sports to watch a baseball game. They see NASCAR race happening. I think for the past few years, I can tell you that actually has been helping more than a lot of people realize. I know a lot of people who just see stuff about NASCAR from Fox or NBC because of how much Fox and NBC just put out on the internet about the sport. Coming into what we got now, with Prime Video, which is just getting involved by taking sporting events and putting them in front of different audiences, TNT Sports figuring out how to do that even more under Warner Bros. Discovery, it does need to be said how much this is going to actually help more and more people in places where they might not have had any reason to think about NASCAR to just see that it's going on. Then when you bring in Dale Jr. and you have your biggest face of the sport on the call, that has helped with the sport's publicity. I know a lot of people who don't necessarily come from a place where they know much about NASCAR day to day, but they know about a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr. every day of their life. And whenever they see Dale Earnhardt Jr., they're like, that is somebody who, and then when you think about it, you think about the sport of NASCAR. And so having him in the booth for both Prime Video and TNT Sports this year, having NASCAR being on, yes, for the diehard fan, immediately it's going to be even more channels and things to subscribe to and places to go and watch. But ultimately, this is a good thing for the sport, and it's what every other sport does, and putting itself into a lot of different places in front of a lot of different people.
Well, that's the thing, Dustin. People complain, too many networks. Okay, ultimately, it's four networks, but then you throw in FS1, which we all know is Fox, and throw in USA. The NFL's on like eight different networks this year, including Netflix. So, right. I mean, seriously, and everybody seems to be able to find those games.
And they'll find the races. Yeah, it's just an excuse, right? Like, eventually, you know, the race fans, you see the ratings every week, the core fan is going to find the races, and they're going to pay the fee to watch Prime. And then next year, when, you know, we enter the second year of the deal, it won't be that big of an issue. And the audience will grow even more, because all the reasons that Shane was just saying, and the brand exposure. So as far as for the lineup, you know, we kind of hit on that, but having Dale Jr. is going to be the focal point of that, obviously, but you pair him with someone like Steve Letarte, who he's very comfortable with, obviously, worked with him at NBC, worked with him in driver crew chief for years with Hendrick, and then you pair Adam Alexander, who he's like the model of the guys who can just mesh chemistries together. We see it every week at the Xfinity Series level on Fox Sports 1, so I'm super excited for that 10-week stretch, which obviously includes the in-season tournament as well.
And, you know, you had Dustin talked about the night races in the Xfinity and the Truck Series. I counted, not counting the two non-points events, 7 night races in the Cup Series, and the first one's not till the 600, Shane. So, I mean, are there too many night races? And no race starts sooner than 2 o'clock in the East.
I don't think so. I think that having the exposure at night, having the lights go on and the racing go into the night is something that we always want to have. And then if we don't, you have it in the middle of a beautiful day, that works just as well a lot of times. But I also think when you look at the impact of Xfinity races on every Saturday, you look at truck races on Friday nights, it's not just about, oh, you like racing, so there's a race on, or the Cup thing is the big thing, or the other things aren't. I think that I saw a post on X recently that it's like, people thinking, oh, Xfinity races are more exciting than Cup races now. But that, seriously, there's something to be said about the competition and the quality of it in the Xfinity Series and in the Truck Series. And that now having the Xfinity Series on the CW for the entire season with Rick Allen and the crew calling every single race. Like, you know, Dustin was just noting about Adam Alexander calling Xfinity when he's called it, and how that really not just helped develop as a broadcaster, but it makes you just get used to hearing his voice and hearing what he tells you about these different guys. And it feels like now with Xfinity having that consistently, oh, it's on the CW every Saturday, it could be that, you know, it more Saturday night or Saturday after, whatever it is, that just allows the sport to grow in that way even more. And I do think that it's cool the way NASCAR has figured out how to create a spot for Rick Allen the whole season, have Adam Alexander alongside obviously Lee Diffie and Mike Joy be a play-by-play commentator in the Cup Series.
All right. Each week on the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is, what would be your ideal start time for races? And your choices are noon, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, or 7:30. I know there's times in between there that might be your ideal time, but that's what we're giving you. Last week, we asked you, who is the driver of the year? And 49% said it's Kyle Larson. 31% said Joey Logano. 14% said Ryan Blaney. And 6% said Tyler Reddick. When we come back, I'm going to find out who these guys think the driver of the year should be. Stay with us.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now.
800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit speedwaycharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
All right, Shane, you had the commercial break to think about it. Who's your driver of the year for 2024?
Ryan Blaney. He still had... He not just in the playoffs, not just that he almost won his second straight championship, but all season, Ryan Blaney was the defending champion that we hoped he would be. And that doesn't mean that he had to win seven races. It means that he won two races and was consistently one of the top drivers in the sport. Kyle Larson, as great as he is, as much as he is doing for not just NASCAR, but for motorsports, he had a great year. He's a great driver. But this year, for the second straight time, belonged to Ryan Blaney.
All right, Dustin, who are you going with?
I was hoping he would go with someone other than Larson just so we could be different. And I do think Blaney took a huge step forward as the defending champion this year. You know, he's finishing races now, which is what I'm knocking him for a lot of his, for executive of his career. But I got to go Larson. You just look at the stats. He led over 500 laps, more than the second place on the list. Most wins, tied for the most top fives. It's Kyle Larson.
All right. Think back this year, and I know this is going to take a little second. Best moment or moments, the moments you're going to remember from this season.
Atlanta, the finish at Atlanta. That, I, look, I was not covering NASCAR for forever, but at that point, I had covered it for the entirety of last playoffs and then starting to this season, all off season, thinking about it. And to have the second race of the year come down to from turn four on, have three cars side by side, and then Daniel Suarez, the one who wins it, that was an awesome moment that leads a list of awesome moments from this season.
What do you think, Dustin?
I'll go with another finish because I feel like this was the year of finishes, but Kansas, the closest finish in Cup Series history between Chris Buescher and Kyle Larson. And we talked a lot about at the beginning of the show about RFK. If it was just 0.2 of a second difference or 0.2 of a second cent of a difference, Buescher would be in the playoffs and he would have been advanced to the right, at least around 12.
Go gadget bumper. All right. Biggest stories from maybe the two or three biggest stories you're taking away from this season.
The fight. Gotta be the fight at North Wilkesboro. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. standing there waiting for Kyle Busch to come over, and then it actually leads up to the brawl that I think all of us anticipated we could have seen, and we saw throw the right hook. We saw Ricky Stenhouse's father get involved. That was something that a lot of people who probably didn't watch any NASCAR races all year might have seen and might remember. And the fact that for the sport, they actually had some on-track action lead to that in a race that happened to be the All-Star race, where you can actually say that the winner of the race doesn't make the playoffs, actually doesn't quote-unquote matter as much as other races, and that story was what... That's something that, if you're going to remember a storyline... That brawl at North Wilkesboro is one that a lot of people will not forget about.
All right. Any other big stories from the year you'll take away?
Of course. I mean, but obviously, it's got to be the whole antitrust lawsuit deal going on right now. You have a guy like Michael Jordan in the sport. Anything he does is going to be significant. Anything that any success that 2311 has is going to be kind of cool and a cool kind of story. To have this happen, not necessarily the coolest of stories, means it's an important big story.
All right. What about you, Dustin?
Yeah, I think, I kind of hit on Kyle Larson. The month of May, we haven't seen a driver do the double, and I guess he didn't do the double, as it turned out, but we haven't seen a driver do the Charlotte and go back for Charlotte in Indy since Kurt Busch 10 years ago. So excited for that to happen again next year, and hopefully Mother Nature cooperates.
All right. Other big stories from this year you'll take away?
I mean, just the pressure, and I guess this goes for the last 10 or so years, but just the pressure that the playoffs put on these drivers. You look at Homestead, and as Shane mentioned earlier, like that race, you could argue it was the best race of the year. You could argue a bunch of different races. And I thought overall, just in general, the on-track product this year was phenomenal. So that makes me excited even more so for next year.
I find one that I take away as a big story that I don't, either of you guys mentioned, Kyle Busch's streak of winning in consecutive years coming to an end.
Yeah, and when you think about, since he's been at RCR, a driver who won multiple championships, a driver who is very known in the NASCAR world and outside of the NASCAR world, who has been a top driver in the sport because he's been with top teams in the sport, has just ended up that he cannot figure out how to win a race. And it's important to note because Kyle Busch is not by any means over the hill as a driver. I mean, there were a bunch of times this year when he came close to winning, including as close as that I believe he took or if he didn't take the white flag, he was leading during the final lap of the crazy race that was eventually won by Harrison Burton. I mean, Kyle Busch, the fact that he still has not won a race, I think that is one of the biggest winless streaks that we've seen in the sport in a while when you think about Bush's potential star power and the fact the longevity of this losing streak now.
Yeah, I mean, that was one. That was a big thing that he talked about late in this season, that he wanted to keep that streak alive, and unable to do it, Dustin.
Yeah, kind of unfortunate because it is, I think Joey's at like 13 or 12 years right now, so potentially he could rival that because you think Joey's probably got at least another 8, 10 years in him, even though he's been around for so long. But yeah, Kyle had an abundant amount of chances, whether it be Daytona that Shane was talking about, or Atlanta that he was in the three wide finish, or even Kansas when he wrecked coming up to lap Chase Briscoe. So there was plenty of chances, but I think we'll see a reborn Kyle Busch, if you will, next year, because RCR in general picked up a lot of speed over the second half of the year, and I think it goes into next year as well.
When we come back, white flag laps. Stay with us.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Headed to Las Vegas Motor Speedway in March to enjoy great NASCAR racing? Then make your reservations now to stay at the South Point Hotel and Casino. The South Point has great race weekend ticket and room packages. Plus, they have a great variety of dining experiences and a world-class spa. Stay where the racers stay. The South Point Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Visit southpointcasino.com and book your springtime getaway today.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that's your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At The Track. Visit goprn.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from jski.com and nascar.com, it's Dustin Albino.
Every time I'm on here, I try to give some love to the Xfinity Series. And we did so a little bit earlier, but this year particularly was just fantastic. I think from start to finish, we had 17 different winners, which is a crazy amount of for 33 races. And you have Cup guys coming down, but it ended with obviously a feel-good story. I was in the press box for the Justin Allgaier win, and we were literally standing on our feet up there. So great story to end the year, great season overall, and it'll be interesting to see, because there's a lot of new talent, new blood coming into the series, how next year transitions.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. We don't root for drivers normally. We root for good stories, but I think pretty much everybody in the media was happy to see Justin Allgaier pick up that win and the championship finally.
That was a great story.
Yep, absolutely. Next up from the Charlotte Observer, Shane Coddick.
You know, this really was one of the best years in the history of NASCAR. When you look at the number, all right, listen, of course it's going to be the best year when you get to this point in the 2020s and you have all this technology and social media and whatnot. But what this year had was that every week you had something come out of so many races this year that could appeal to different people for different reasons. And what's the root of it? The sport of NASCAR. Whether it's that we're at Kansas and Chris Buescher and Kyle Larson or Chris Buescher appears to be winning and then Larson actually won it, or you're in Atlanta, the three wide finish. We've talked about all these moments. This was a year that was unprecedented, that constantly you didn't know what was going to come next leading up to the championship. And that makes it another great year for the sport. And I'm really excited to see how the sport continues to move forward and who wins, if Denny Hamlin can finally do it in 2025.
Well, it won't be Logano because it's an odd year. There you go. Hey, I'm not big on doing things that are a total waste of time, and that's why I don't understand the folks who each year insist on declaring a cup champion based on the point standings from the pre-playoff days. Really? What purpose does that serve? Or more importantly, what does it prove? First of all, it's a system that hasn't been used for nearly a quarter of a century, and in fact, there's not a driver currently competing who drove under that old system. But even more absurd in calculating champions under the old system is that teams compete in a way that maximizes their chances of winning the championship under the current system. They may sacrifice accumulating points for trying things that could give them an edge when it comes to the playoffs. In short, if you have that much time to kill, I'm sure there are things you can find that would be more valuable for mankind than coming up with a list that means absolutely nothing. Dustin, Shane, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week in the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.